First item on our agenda is the audience participation. Time for anyone that would like to come forward to address the council for up to 3 minutes, 5 minutes if you're representing a group. It's our only time for audience participation under the special meeting. So at this time, audience participation is now open. And if you would, I think you said you'd already signed in, and just turn on your microphone there and state your name.
Thank you. For the record, Matthew Beck of Palmer. I don't get to come here very often, so I thought I would. We don't have an assembly meeting tonight, so I thought I'd come by and say hi and thank you for your work in the city of Palmer. If there's anything I can ever do to help out with what's happening, please let me know. I'm serving on the assembly in this district, and I'm more than happy to step up. I have regular meetings with Manager Hannon and Mayor Johnson, so that's kept me apprised a little bit, but I'd be happy to meet with any one of you if ever need be. So thank you for your work with the budget, and I know that's a hard time, and so best of luck with all that. And then real fast, I understand later tonight you're going to take a look at making a recommendation to the borough with regards to Central Monofil Services and whether we should accept that conditional use permit or not, and I would lean towards not accepting that conditional use permit, and I would appreciate any support that I could get from the city council. Thank you.
My apologies. Matt, may I ask you, while you're here, to if you can, off the cuff, just tell us a little bit about the borough's capital projects and if you have any particular approach to how you're going to be
Yep, we've submitted legislative priorities to the governor. The governor's office. We submitted five of them to the governor's office, including a septic treatment facility and a leachate facility. That's the top of the list. They're not listed in any particular order, but we wanted that one to be the one that appears first. We also, in that five to the governor, include Port McKenzie, the rail extension. And my mind without it in front of me, I think to the governor we have the Gateway Visitor Center, but then we have a entire packet that we're submitting with the legislature, which includes several different priorities, including salmon habitat restoration, and that's all available online. We don't expect that we're going to necessarily get a lot of money, but those are the things we're going to try to attack either way.
Okay. So. All right. Thank you. And we really appreciate you coming and visiting and saying hello tonight. It's much appreciated. All right, anyone else would like to come forward to address the council? Seeing no one additional come forward, the audience participation is now closed. And that brings us to our committee of the whole. That includes resolution number 15-001, adopting a budget for the city of Palmer, Alaska for a fiscal year beginning January 1, 2015 and ending December 31, 2015, and appropriating monies. And resolution number 15-002, approving the city of Palmer pay plan. Do I have a motion to move into the committee of the whole to consider those items? Made by Councilmember Combs, seconded by Councilmember DeBries to move into the committee of the whole. And Councilmember Best is not on the phone, is he?
Correct. He's not.
He's not. Okay. All very good. Then we can do this just the normal vote. All those in favor moving in the committee of the whole, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any of those opposed, say no. All right. We are now in the committee of the whole, and that brings us to our budget presentation. Mr. Manager, what do we have left to present?
Nothing except the answers to the questions that the council had at the last meeting.
Oh, I thought we still had. We have no other department portions of the budget to be presented. Okay.
No.
All right. Very good.
So in front of you are the answers to the questions that came out last budget session. The first one is just talking about what our different reserves are, so you can see, and the GFOA, which is the Government Finance Officers Association, their recommendations for how much a operating reserve should be, which is 2 months or 16.6%. And then below that on the first page, it shows what our current budget is, what's proposed in the budget of what the reserve is, which is 12.19. And if you were to go to a 16% of what it would take, $493,000. Then the second one is the question came up, what does the auditor say about how much the reserve? And in there you'll see, when she was here, she had talked about 3 to 6 months as the recommended practice. She was recently at the government finance officers meeting of finance directors for the state, and she looked up what the GFOA recommendation is, which is a minimum of that unassigned balance of 2 months, which is the number in front of it. The next one is just a little bit of help, some information that we got since we talked before, and it's about employee turnover and that. You draw your own conclusions of how it relates to anything like salaries and benefits and that, but I thought it was very instructive of our turnover of our workforce, which cost us money. Anytime you get a new person, you pay for new training, you lose some of the expertise that you already have. But since 2008, 80 of our employees have turned over. So that, and some of them are directors, some of them are, and I've listed a couple in the public safety side, 9 police officers we've lost either to resignation or they didn't make it through or they've gone to other agencies, and 19 dispatchers. Then there was a request.
Can I ask you a question
yes,
on that?
Sure.
Now, if we, so it could be 5 employees in the same position though.
It can be, yes.
Could be. I mean, so
yeah,
it's
like
not
dispatchers,
like,
yes.
Right, I mean, or it could be, you know, whatever, I mean.
I have that if you want, if it's
useful
to show.
No, I just wanted to make sure it's not 80, because we only have like 80 employees. So
yeah,
we can't turn them all over, I know. At least we got to kept a couple. We kept Jeanette, I'm pretty sure. That's the only one I know for sure.
And we do, and when I was mentioning this to the mayor earlier, I mean, she's correct that we have some people that are on longevity, which means they've been here a long time. And that's a real plus for us, and we have the advantage of having all their expertise and training. But it's not healthy to have an organization that has 80 people leave this kind of a turnover since 2008. And we could spend time talking about some of the reasons, but it's just something that, as a city, we need to acknowledge and then address. And if we want to spend some more time on that, we can. Then asked about salaries and benefits and broke it out for 2 ways of general fund and enterprise fund of what a 1% increase would be, what a 2, and what's in the budget is a 3% increase. And so it's broken out there where you can see total cost of each of the funds. Then there was a question about medical premiums. Under number 5 where it says medical premiums, what has been, and we're going to have an update to this, it just came in literally minutes ago that the finance director, that Esther will cover with, but in the budget is an increased premium that we had expected of 17%. So, and likewise, I've broken out of general fund and enterprise funds. And the general fund in the budget document you have before you absorbs $281,000. Dollars into the budget. As an alternative, not the one I'm recommending, but as an alternative, if that premium was broken out half by the employees paying and half by the cities picking it up, the next 2 lines show what that would represent in the budget. And then if the city was to pick up, if you chose to go 10% with the city picking up and 7% of the employees, that's what the next 2 numbers are.
So, and did we have a question on this, Joe?
You asked about how medical premiums and how it was broken out in the budget. So, in the budget is the first line, $281,000 in the general fund and $56,000 in the other funds, which is basically public works guys. Number 6 had to do with one that is not in the budget. And this was the one where you heard about potential. There were 2 things were talked about. One was to take the existing administrative assistant and take that up to a position of a library manager, a data person there. And this shows the salary and benefit cost of what that would be. And it is not in the budget. And then during the council discussion, they were saying, well, what if you took the administrative assistant and just not dealing with the data side of it, and it went from 0.7 to a full FTE, what the cost would be. Again, none of six is in the budget. Then on number 7 and 8 are, because our process does take some time from when we first started, these are updated as of today of what are two major revenue sources of what's happened to them. The first one is sales tax. And so as of today, and it's significant that tomorrow is actually one of our bigger days, at the end of the month, and again, Esther can cover that in more detail, but at the end of the month, we pick up our largest, like Fred Meyer. But as of right of this moment, through the 25th, we have budgeted $6 million, and we've gotten the $5.7 million. Now, if we were looking to estimate what would be at the end of the year, one logical way of doing that would be then to take what we received in 2017. Now, all of our months have been higher than what they were. I said 2017. What happened in 2013 in December? And our numbers have been higher, but if we use just the same number coming across and added 600,000, then that would put us approximately 300,000 over what we estimate in the budget. So what typically happens with that money is that then becomes part of your undesignated balance. But in our budget that we're proposing for next year, we set it 6.3. So big one will be tomorrow when we hear with that, but right now we're running significantly over what we had budgeted in this current budget. Property tax is just about where we expected it, with 1 month to go, and of course, you just get dribbles at this point of property tax because our big revenues have been put in. But we estimated of 1.19, and we have 1.13, which means we're about 60,000 away. And that one, we'll just see what happens by the end of the month. But it appears as though we're on track for that. The next two questions asked about the airport. One of them was, I think the mayor asked of, how much property tax is generated out of the airport. So what we did was we took each of the properties at the airport, put them on a spreadsheet, and calculated what their property taxes were. And so one is the overall, which is the borough, and then broke out our three mills for them, and those numbers are shown there. Right below the property tax, should be number 10, I guess when I was doing it, I didn't circle it, but a question came up about what happens if we install LED lights? Because you heard when Tom Healy made his presentation, he said, we can save money by going to LED lights and converting them over. And we had an estimate of what it was. So what we've done, we have already converted some of our street lights to LEDs. So I pulled them out for a couple months, similar to what it was in the past, and shows the amount of savings of if we converted all of them. And then at the end of it is a much more detailed memo from Tom. But they save us money. And in your just council manager report that I gave you, and it's long, but if you look in there one place, one of the things that happened during the Alaska Municipal League is that there were people from, I'm just referring to something in that statement, but I'm just telling that at the Municipal League, we met with staff from the Alaska Energy Agency, and they offered, they said, we would give you a loan to convert over, particularly anything that has that kind of return. And a normal return investment on that, approximately 3 years, 2.5 years, we would pay off anything that we'd borrow on the lights if we converted that way. So that's just an FYI. Today, and again in this memo, even though stuff changes a lot, This talks about, my report talks about the meetings with two, with our appraiser and with our with Granite. So one was calculating the value of the Glen property, and the other one was what does Granite want to do about paying in lieu of fees? Well, about an hour ago, what happened is we got an appraisal back 4 or 5 days ago, and it had too much developable property there. I think it was estimating 9 acres, and I had one estimate. And then that was pointed out and went through staff, says, no, we don't have as many of that. We actually have a survey from Dow. So I sent that back to Brian Bethard, who is the MAI appraiser. This is the appraised value of the property based on what's developable, $370,000.
How does that affect our budget?
It is not in there. It's not in there. The only.
We need to make sure we get to our.
Yeah. Oh, I only have one other item. The only reason I had that is that if the council has the goal of taking us to our reserve of 16, you know, basically 2 months, that's put in there of 490,000, and at some point there's both the if you chose to sell the property. And when we get the estimate of the utilities, then that those funds are available to however you would like to use them. So I'm just giving you the most up to date. And the value of the extending of the services, which could be separate from any property sale, I'm expecting that within about a week or 2 weeks. He's going back to the engineers, to HDL, because I asked for an independent third party. Then Council Member Hansen also asked about airport leases and how much is paid out of the general fund to the airport, and those are listed of each of them. And the only other update, which came within the last hour, has to do with medical premiums.
This is literally hot off the press. I just got it in. In our current 2015 budget, we have budgeted our medical cost at 17%. And as you can see, we just received word from our insurance company that the increase will only be 5%. And a very quick calculation, that means that the city is saving $223,885.
Yes.
Saving over what we thought we were going to pay out.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's happy news. Now, is this something that is a quote that we can take to the bank, so to speak, or is this something that is just a preliminary soft number, or can we? Yeah, how's
he has given us that? He has given us our rates for next year. So it is my understanding that that is our new rates for 2015. So it is a tremendous savings.
Yeah, okay, very good. Oh, that's 12% difference in what we anticipated.
Those are all the questions, Mayor, I think that the council had. There was one that we sent separately about meeting library books, but it sends a separate email.
All right. If you will just excuse me just a moment, I have to go out to the car and get my budget book. But carry on. Well, I'm going to edit some notes anyway. Councilmember Carrington, will you take over for me if
sure.
Things get going here? I'll be right back.
So is there any...
Councilmember
DeVries.
Thank you. I wasn't able to attend AML, but what I'm hearing on the streets is regarding The fact about municipal sharing is maybe X completely this next year or not. So I was, since we're talking about especially the revenue side here tonight, I was wondering if someone can bring me up to date on what the scuttlebutt was there, with what percentage they're looking at for a reduction, or we have a revised figure there. And then also while you're looking at that, and I'm glad Assemblyman Beck is here tonight, if I could ask him, you did pass the driver or the motor vehicle thing, right, regarding the older vehicles. And so I was wondering if staff has a figure for the reduction of revenue there that we could have also. Thank you, Your Honor.
Well, I can tell you that, and there were several people that went to different hearing stuff, and Governor-elect Walker was there, but he didn't talk about revenue sharing as expected. The staff is going, you know, everything is on the table, we'll look at, but with the exception of looking at capital projects and like the five mega projects where people said they're on the table and we're gonna look at it because we don't have enough money, the LEAP specifically made, and there were only this year four resolutions that they took forward, but the number one resolution from all of the league was that maintain, they actually asked to restore the revenue sharing, but there has been no indication from any of the transition team that they're basically going after those funds. So the number we have in the budget is still the most current, we believe, you know, most accurate information. So.
The motor vehicle, we have reduction of income in the motor vehicle tax because of the borough passing the older models exemption.
I don't have that number in front of me, but however, it was a little over 18,000 that our revenue would be reduced.
I'm so sorry. It would be a little over 18,000 that our revenue would be reduced. But I can get that exact number for you if you would like.
Mr. Yeti. Mayor, thank you. Just, and maybe everyone already knows this, so it's not any earth-shattering news, but there's some serious budget deficits that everybody's looking at to the tune of about $3 billion. And now with the school funding decision, which, depending on what happens, you're going to see even less state dollars available. So that translates into less revenue overall, plus the price of oil is really low.
Madam Mayor?
Madam Mayor, I think we have that exact number. It is $18,246.82 that our revenue would be reduced.
From the motor vehicle then?
Yes.
I thought it was 118. Okay, go ahead.
I did attend where Ray Gillespie spoke about revenue sharing, and he did talk about a cut, and for the life of me, I can't remember the exact dollar amount. I know Councilmember Carrington was there too.
What?
There was a cut, but as the manager indicated, AML, of course, passed the resolution supporting the full funding, but he did speak of a cut, and the percentage, I don't remember, but that it was on the table as a cut, but because of the new governor and everything, they're going to, of course, address it. Boy, I can't remember.
Your Honor, just to follow up on that, I think like a month or 6 weeks ago, I forwarded to the clerk the article of where Ray had spoken in Kodiak. And he had, I think in that, maybe in that article, he had stated a percentage. But so anyway, it's just something we need to be very well aware of. I think our revenue, you know, there are some revenue changes from the when the budget was presented. And, you know, even though it's maybe 30,000 here and 18,000 here, we can come up with 100,000 probably pretty quickly, so.
All right, I would like to, and I'm kind of getting back into the budget mode here, but, and I don't remember if we had this number, but we had a proposed 3% increase across the board for all of our city employees. Could you tell me what that amount ends up being? Okay. Okay. So what was it? I mean, like I said, I'm trying to.
Okay.
Where's my number? Where's my number at here? What is it? 161?
That's her.
I'm sorry, I'm just having a hard time finding that exactly.
Number 4 on the handout, paragraph 4.
Paragraph 4, yeah.
It says salaries and benefits.
Yes.
And if it was a 1% increase, it's 48,000, this is general fund first, 48,006. That's salaries and benefits. If it was 2%, it was 97,000. And if it's 3% of all the general fund employees, it's 146.
Oh, okay. I was looking for 161. I misheard there.
What Councilmember Hanson's doing is taking 3% in the general fund of 146 and 3% in the enterprise funds, which is.
Oh, okay, sure. Okay. Okay, got it. I just didn't see the 161 number. Now that makes sense to me. Thank you. But that's 161. That's 161 is the salary portion. It's not the.
No, salaries and benefits.
Oh, it is. Okay, so medical premiums are.
Madam Mayor.
Madam Mayor.
Yeah. A question. And is this amount, is the 3% in the current budget?
It is.
Okay.
Madam Mayor.
I'm sorry, Councilmember Carrington, I didn't hear what you just said.
I just asked if that 3% it's in the current budget. It is.
It's in the current budget. Is there also, so just because I don't really understand exactly what I have here, and maybe I just missed it as you were going through it, but so the 161 is the combination of the general fund and the enterprise fund. Okay, salaries and benefits together. And then you have the medical funds, medical premiums. I'm just broken out separately.
Right, because there was a question about how much.
Oh, okay, so that's a something completely separate. Okay, got it.
Separate question.
Yeah, okay.
Madam Mayor, if I could identify the benefits so that there wouldn't be any confusion. The benefits include PERS, FICA, Medicare, and workman's comp.
So that does not include the medical? That doesn't include the medical. Well, I mean, I guess that's not an increase in 3%, but if we do have a 3%, if we have a 3% increase, is that not going to change the medical contribution? Okay, Councilmember Combs.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Actually, that was going to be my question.
Percentage
about the benefits. When we have this column here that says benefits, and now that I look at it, I can see what you were thinking about, because at 1%, 2%, 3%, those figures for PERS, FICA, Medicare, and workman's comp all change based on that base. So I can see that. I was just a little surprised that benefits didn't include the health, but never mind. You answered my question, Esther. Thank you very much.
And in the benefits,
And the benefits, that is what the employer would have to pay. Okay.
You want it? Councilmember DeVries.
Thank you. I know you sent out us a memo regarding the increase in natural gas that needs to be included in the budget. Could you give me that figure again, please? Or somebody? Thank you.
Based on the 2015 budgeted numbers for the heat, which is the NSTAR, we calculated the average of 2012, or from we calculated the average that we've paid out year to date, and added the increase of the 7.6%. And the only budgets that were affected that would possibly go over would be the police building and the library by a small amount. So we recommend. We put in three new boilers this year at City Hall and the Trooper Building and at Public Works. So. Mm-hmm.
And we recommend.
I'm just taking, I'll take a quick look to go through a couple more things here.
Your Honor, while you're looking at that, can I ask another question?
Please.
Yeah, thank you. I was wondering, again, as you all know, you hear lots of rumors, but most people say, you know, we're going to have probably hardly any capital budget. Is there anything in their capital request to the legislature that if they don't fund, we are going to need to fund either to, you know, quickly wrap the project up, or is life and safety or something like that? Thank you.
Well, you know, the our number one priority about doing the water line extension, if for some reason the state does not fund the rest of that, then it will be timing as to what when Colony gets their service. So we'd see some reduction of money. So it's not like, yeah, the city is going to lose any. I mean, we wouldn't get the revenues. The schools wouldn't get the service to there. I think one of the big ones would be, and it's not as the largest dollar amount, but would be the turnouts for the firefighters. We're holding those together, and if we're not successful in getting some money from the state or someplace else, that's one I think that during the year it could come up and saying, you know, if we don't have adequate turnout, then can we go fight fires?
Isn't that in our budget though? I thought there were $60,000. No. I thought there were $60,000 in the.
No, because early on we thought that
we could get capital project
right.
Request.
And we thought, but that was the the question. From the first time that we put the draft budget together, we believed that we could get some money out of the aerial fire truck. And we're pretty confident in that. Well, then going back to the state, they said, nope, we're not going to allow you to buy equipment there. So I think of all of the capital things that are sitting out there, you know, the Shared, for example, we didn't get some of that money. We would wait, just like we've waited before. But I think I think the money for them, you know, of putting money aside for the turnouts is the only one that's so critical that something could happen during the year, and if they don't have equipment, they couldn't fight a fire.
Okay. What about the airport safety fence replacement?
No, that one, you know, and in general, our enterprise funds are a lot better than our, I mean, our general fund is not bad, but no, the fence, we have two sides to it. One is that, well, there's a couple components. First is that we're saying we're going to comply with the DOGA agreement on that. Okay? And so we put money asking the state if they would do it. That comes out of a separate pot of money that are aviation-related projects. And typically what has happened is the state has made up the portion that we would need if we did got a grant. The FAA is including that in their list. So we're still very hopeful that we won't even have to use any money from us and that the FAA will fund that. So they've told us, yeah, this is one of their priorities. But we haven't seen the federal budget, and who knows what's going to go on. Again, like enterprise fund, it's not general fund. It's not like the oil money from that has a state for some of our other capital. So that one, I feel much better than about anything else. And it's also not a safety thing. I mean, per se, it's us complying with our agreement with the FAA. But they're willing.
No.
It's just it different pots of money, and they're supportive of it. And the federal government is different than the state.
Your Honor.
Councilman DeVries.
Thank you. It seems like to me when we had the one discussion regarding doing away with the Director of Public Safety, there was a question regarding, since a majority of that salary comes from the borough in our contract, and there was a discussion about the fact of whether if we went to two department heads, whether that money would still be passed along to us or something. And do we have an answer for that? Thank you.
It's not a majority of the funding. It's a significant part of the salary. I think we can show that and bring it out. No, there's been, right now, what's in the budget is showing it through June. If for some reason, first, if you go along and you say that's what you wish to do, then if the money would be in there for June at the full salary. If if John Owen decides that he's retiring or leaving or something like that, then it'll go back to the borough. The borough knows what I proposed in the budget, and I think that, and you'll hear that even later in tonight, the issue of we have... right now, we're providing service for fire hydrants in the area. Is it close to the amount that's being given from the borough to us in support of the public safety? Yes. That's the logic that I've used with them of saying, you know, you're not paying it if the council goes down the road and if they change this, then the first thing that I would do is, can you use that money and go towards supporting something else in the fire, like a firefighter there. If you remember, we have right now on grants, we have SAFER grants that increased our firefighters. That will eventually go away. And the city will, and the rural fire is gonna have to decide, do they wanna keep the firefighters at? That could be one source of where the money is. The other one is, you know, is there something else that fire needs that the rural board would also be agreeable? But what my goal and what I put them on alert is saying, if the council goes down that road, there are services provided to the rural fire area now that are not being funded, and it's appropriate that they consider paying us for that. So nothing more from beyond that, because I have to wait and see what you choose to do. So I've just given them a heads up and left it at that.
So now, I just wanted to go back to the turnouts. Now, we don't have it on our capital projects list.
Correct.
And now, where is it in our budget, though?
It's not. When we did the first sit down here, we had it in our list.
I was going to say, I thought we had 60,000 on the
list. We did. And then we said, hey, maybe what we can do is get the state to pay for our turnouts as part of the aerial grant. And early indications, we could. When this was then presented to you, we got tonight, we got an update, and they said, no, we're not going to give you 60,000.
Well, I knew that wasn't going to be an option for quite a while. I mean, I know we've been talking about the turnouts.
Well, we didn't. We were pretty confident that we could, and that's why we made the formal request to the state to say, can we use the money as part of an aerial? And they said, no.
Well, yeah, but that's been a while ago. I just thought...
No, at the beginning...
So we don't have that in our budget.
No, it
I
happened...
I thought we had our turnouts
right,
in there.
It happened right at the time that we presented this budget, is we went, and that's when we got our answer. So it's been fairly recent, Mayor.
Councilmember DeVries.
Thank you, Your Honor. The revenue that we have for the dispatching, I know the library block is like... what, $9,500 less than what we have in the budget. But is the dispatching figure for the 855-093, is that figure still right on?
It is. It's by contract.
Okay, good. Thank you.
And again, different pots of money.
Okay. I guess I'm going to have to go back. So the director of public safety position, that was in our first handout. Did we get that in a handout?
That's in this budget.
I know, but did we have a handout that expanded on it?
No.
Your Honor, can I ask another question?
Councilmember DeVries.
Thank you. The investment interest earnings, you have increased. I'm on page 17 I'm in the revenue. I feel if we don't have the revenue as a good foundation, there's no sense in talking about expenses as far as I'm concerned until we know that all the revenue is right. On the revenue for the interest and the investment earnings, I know you're going to make some changes there. And is that why you think you're going to be able to earn $10,000 more than what we have year to date?
That was your new answer to the budget.
Councilmember DeVries, that was the amount that we had received as of the end of October. Of September. So we have October, November, and December. And yes, we do think that we will be able to have some interest. No, I do not. Would you like for me to bring that back to you at the next meeting?
I guess as long as you feel comfortable that the $25,000 estimated for next year's budget is a good figure. It's just that there was, you know, such a gap there. That's why I was just... Yeah, it's one more quarter, and if you divide the $15,000 by three, that's only $5,000 a quarter, so that would only make it $20,000 for this year rather than the $25,000. And I know with the cash flow problems that you've had before in the narrative, it was talking about you're going to make some changes regarding some of your investments and stuff, and I just didn't know if that was actually going to increase the amount of revenue we were going to get or if it was going to remain the same or what. So that figure just gave me a red flag. Thank you.
So going back to the page 16 on the revenues, I'll go ahead and go back to revenues again too. So on page 16 under taxes, the 01000311 motor vehicle tax. Is that what we've been talking? That's the line that we've been talking about our motor vehicle tax in tonight. That's the one that we're talking about. Okay. What was it?
$18,000. It's going to be reduced, I believe. $18,246.82.
Oh, reduced from the $42,000? I guess that's what I was wondering. Okay, so that was. I'm just getting back.
Madam Mayor, the budget was put together prior to getting that number.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we'll just make a note that that's.
Your Honor, if I could ask another question, please.
Go ahead.
Okay, on page 7, where it talks about the cash flow management and undesignated fund balance, it says that the 1.9 would be sufficient to pay 3 months. And then when I look on page 15, it says 3 months of operating expenditure is 2.4. Can somebody reconcile those two figures for me, please? Thank you.
Ah, no, there it is.
I think on page 7, under the cash flow, it says 2.9.
Right.
And then you go to page 15, it says 3 months is 2.4.
Yeah, the most accurate is 15. What page 7 did, and it's broken out that when GFOA actually has, when you're calculating the undesignated fund balance, are there certain kinds of reductions in there that has to do with transfers that you don't use as part of your 16%? When I was doing the first one, which is my memo on the front, I used the gross, and then that's when Esther and Gina, when finance director came back and said, this is the way, and it's what we've used in the past to come up with it, so. Mayor.
Mr. Manager.
One thing that might also be that's helpful or instructive, and where it could potentially go in with the turnouts, is that I'll just remind you that we left, and it's not typical, in the past, all of the funds for the capital were put into recommended projects. In this year's budget, there's, I'll get you to the right page, $130,000 that we left to say, Council, where would you like to put that? So does special projects, and we didn't. I just left it there for you to decide. Can you help me with the page? I think it's
capital
projects, yes. So, I mean, if you chose to use those funds to go for turnouts, you have that ability. It's on page 119, so I've not put that into any particular projects. And in the past, it had been.
Right.
And the council just kind of moved whatever they wished to do.
Your Honor?
Councilor Reese.
Do we, according to code or according to our auditors, have a definition of what what's operating costs, operating expenses versus capital expenses. And so I don't mean to challenge you, but I know, you normally don't use capital funds for operating and vice versa. So do we know what the standard is or the code is? Thank you.
Councilmember DeVries, I'm not sure I quite understand your question, but
can the turnouts be classified as a capital
asset?
I'm trying to find it.
Go ahead. When you have an item that crosses over into another year, can be put in the CIP, and that's what CIP is. It's funds that doesn't go away, whereas your operating budget, your revenue and expenditures, they end at the last day of the fiscal year. As an example, the Public Works was not able to purchase their vehicle, and they have requested that those funds be transferred to the CIP, so those we won't lose those funds. Oh, okay. I didn't realize that it said the 2 years.
And cost you more than $5,000 a year?
Yes.
$60,000 with
Andrew Lester. But how many is that? That's not just one turnout.
Can you turn a number?
It's a number of turnouts. Let's see. I want to say, I'm trying to remember exactly how many it was, and I'm sure John knows here, but
those are $2,400 per set.
Yeah, $2,400 per set. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was 20, wasn't it? Isn't it 20 turnouts, or is it more than that? So 2,400, we can figure it out.
I think we need at least 20. We've actually been borrowing some from the Butte Fire Department.
Yes. Okay, so I did actually had a conversation with, it's been a while ago, with our fire chief, and I guess with John Owen as our director of public safety as well. And the way I understood it, I said, what if we can't do all the turnouts this year? Because there still is kind of a mix and match, and there's a few things that work. And it was like the bare minimum was $20,000 that they could get by with. If they had $20,000, they could, if we were at a bare bones budget for $20,000, they could get enough few pants here to match these, tops and so on. $40,000 would do what they needed. But if we, the goal, I think, and this is not to do a major expenditure every so often and have them get down to the point where they're, begging and borrowing and trying to get pieces put together. We need to get this into an equipment line where we get a few new suits every year.
Exactly, Mayor. That's exactly what I was going to suggest, is that we have a sinking fund in, say, an 08 account that's not going to lapse, because what happened was we received a grant about 10 years ago under which most of our turnouts were purchased. Turnouts are pretty well considered gone in 10 years. That's the NFPA standard. And so because of the DOJ things and the budget cutbacks, we weren't able to budget for say 3 to 5 sets of turnouts a year. So if you were to put something in a sinking fund so that we could purchase say 5 a year, that'd be perfect.
So, if you have to, can you do it with 20,000 and then 20,000 and then 5,000 or whatever, every year, or 20,000, however. And I mean, I always have to say fire is very frugal, and they usually come back with they have expensive equipment, but they come back as least expensive as they can. I mean, but whatever we have to do, we want to try to make it work for them too.
And I suggested that as an ongoing thing, but right now we are at critical mass for turnouts, and it's going to reach, we're very near the place where we won't have turnouts to equip attack firefighters to go into a fire.
So we need,
says that you,
we need to have basically $40,000 for the turnouts, right?
60. That's what we're thinking. This year we need hard to keep it as a forest.
Well, and
that's not the total number that we have. But in the department.
Okay, well, I guess I had my number I have in my head is 40, and so I mean maybe we want to make it 60, but I know that I kind of talked to Chief McNutt, and he said 40,000 would, I mean maybe, you know, maybe we just got different numbers, but I mean I know I think 40,000 is something we have to do. We have to do in some kind of number there for them. Anyway. Mr. Gaddy.
Madam Mayor, thank you. Just a couple of points of interest, perhaps, on the question of capital versus operational sort of issues. The one section the clerk pointed out was the fixed asset capitalization policy, but there's also a capital projects fund and a definition of capital projects in the charter, and they're contained in code section 3.28 and the charter section, which I thought I had my finger on, but I don't. But anyway, it's in definitions in the charter that says what a capital project is, and it's something that's permanent. So that might be a little different than the capitalization policy. But my question would be, and I don't know the answer, maybe Joe does, on the grant for the fire truck, could those turnouts be considered part of the equipment? And if the state rejected that once, could we ask again? I know we've done that before, and the state sort of changed their mind. So maybe John knows.
When I addressed this pretty carefully with the DCRA, they responded that it would have to be reappropriated or redesignated by the legislature.
But that's possible to do.
Yes.
Well, and maybe we want to do a reappropriation. I think it's something that we may want to try to talk about. But I think the only thing that I would caution at this point is as soon as you start reappropriating in this very lean budget year, you want to make sure that you've got pretty much someone that says agreed that they're going to carry this forward and they'd see no problem with it, because I don't want, you know, I'm afraid that if we go back with too much reappropriation, it'll be easy to lose it as well. So, but, you know, this is, I think that question is part of our strategy when we talk about our capital projects request. Mr. Gaddy.
Madam Mayor, and maybe too that maybe another look at this and maybe a request from a legislator, as a couple of new legislators from the Valley, to ask legislative council to take a look to see whether there's a reappropriation necessary under the grant or the appropriation itself, or whether it can be construed broadly to allow the turnouts to be considered part of the capital purchase along with the fire truck and equipment, just like I couldn't tell you what particular equipment's on the truck, but I think there's different things that are purchased with the truck that are capital.
Well, there are, but the turnouts are issued to the individual firefighters, and all I can tell you is my concern with the reappropriation is that it may take until next summer or fall, and as we've reassessed this problem with the chief very carefully, we're at critical mass. Mm-hmm. We're going to have firefighters that literally are not allowed to go onto the fire ground because they don't have $2,400 worth of turnouts that's safe. They're torn, they're tattered.
All right, any other questions or comments on the anything on fire while we have Mr. Owen here? Or police? I have a question on the just on page 17. And I don't know if this is just because we have a lot of grants on the fees and services, but I just noticed it's a lot larger. The 01-0003440 grants administrative overhead. It's 134,000, and the highest one we've had before is 50. I was just curious if you would tell me about that number a little bit.
I do have information.
Okay.
I went through the...
Well, it's a very precise number, so I figure you have a reason to get to it.
I went through the projects with the with Director Healy.
Can you turn the microphone?
We won't be recording. I am so sorry. I went through the projects with Director Healy and identified the specific grants that would have administrative overhead, and that's the number that we came up with. And
That's our state grants. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what I was wondering. If we're just it's just a matter of our success.
Okay. And unfortunately, I can't find it.
During
a
break, we'll
find where. All right. Where I need to be different ones. This is under revenue, so, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we can understand what it's called. Oh, I see. But anyway, that's the monies that we can charge to the grants. Yes. I mean, that's the time we can charge the grant. Okay.
I will find it.
Well, that's okay. As long as you know where that number came from.
Yes.
And I'm clear, I guess, when I understand that number. Are we having... So shall we take a break here, I guess, and let's give us 10 minutes. And we... Back to order. We have a director of finance. You have a correction you'd like to make?
The $18,000 that we were talking about a while ago, I apologize. That is not motor vehicles. That is affecting the property tax. And it's only going to be affected for half the year because it doesn't go into effect until July 1st, 2015. So it's like $9,100. So I apologize. I just was not thinking straight.
Okay.
I wish I had a good excuse, but I don't.
I just appreciate you bringing us up ready.
All right, we're still in the committee of the whole.
Correct.
Yes. Do we have any other? I mean, I have a couple amendments I'd like to make, but I'm happy to continue to discuss. Councilmember Hanson.
Well, that vehicle tax, you can correct me. Somebody can correct me when I'm wrong, but. First of all, I think you have to pay a current registration right away, so it shouldn't have any effect on the coming year. And then you have to pay a one-time fee of $25 or $15, but you have to register your vehicle again one more time, right?
Madam Mayor, excuse me. I think that's generally correct. However, if the municipality passes the exemption for the older vehicles and you've paid your registration, you can apply to get the money back, as I understand it from DMV.
Is this something we need to do? Well, that's also, or are we just under the
girls'
umbrella?
Yes, Mr. Gaddy, I would like the answer to that question.
That's a good question, and I need to look into that. I presume it's under the borough's umbrella since they basically collect the tax, and the motor vehicle registration tax is designed for the borough to collect and reallocate to the city. Plus, they have discretion under the statute to adjust that formula in their whatever they believe is appropriate, which they did. And so it might be that it's time to really look at this from a political perspective and get involved in some political advocacy at the borough assembly level and ask them to revisit that allocation based on some of these initial additional reductions.
And if we have four mills that aren't going to have to go to schools,
well,
just maybe where that might go.
If you have four mills that don't go to schools, maybe the borough will have a lot of money.
Yeah. Just thinking.
I don't know.
Maybe they'll reduce our taxes. All right, back to work. Well, I would like to put down, I would like to make an amendment to include the turnouts in the... Well, no, I just want to add it to our list of amendments to add the turnouts in it, an additional 40,000. And I guess, but I don't want to just add that if we don't have extra, have enough money in the budget to do that. So we have 18,000 reducing from the health care, right?
Mayor, yes. We can show you if you'd like. Put a spreadsheet up of the changes.
I don't need to see that. I want you guys, just you guys, that's your job. You guys figured out as long as it
No, we works. Have. I'm just saying, you can show it if you'd like to see where it is. Here's the new revenue that changed from this, and then we put in those so you can see what it does to the budget. So we have, Gina has that for us.
Okay.
Do you have that up too? Oh, you're not connected.
So, on the we do have one capital request for the mapping software for dispatch. I mean, if we don't get that capital request, I mean, that was one of the questions. If we don't get that capital request, what is that? What kind of issue does that create for us?
The capital request, I forget the amount of money that we asked for, whether it was 350,000, I believe, is for computer-aided dispatch software, to which would be consistent with the software that's at MATCOM. This would allow us to have the same platform, so when an E911 call comes in, the same information populates the computer screens in Palmer as in Wasilla. And that would largely eliminate people having to repeat their stories when the call is transferred. And regardless of whether or not actual consolidation takes place in the future, we're going, as long as there are two dispatch centers or two physical locations, we are going to need to have CAD that's the same. And their CAD, I'm sorry, their CAD is far more advanced and a much better CAD than ours is. Ours was one that the borough put in that was low bid in 2007, and it's a rickety old platform that needs replacing anyway.
Yep, Your Honor, thank you. Can we I either scroll down so we have a total for the revenue, or can we have a total in there, please? Thank you.
Since Mr. Healy's here, can I talk to him for a minute? Or Mr. Manager? May I talk to Mr. Healy about lights?
Certainly, Mr. Healy, will you please come forward to address us
about lights? Or any other good ideas you have?
Yeah. I'm sorry I was late to the meeting. I didn't read the agenda. I thought it was 6 o'clock.
Probably an advertising error. Tom, in your so we had some information today about the percentage of the high pressure sodium lights throughout the city, of which there are 73% and 27% LEDs, and then there's a breakdown of residential versus commercial, $400, $1,200. Do we know what first of all, do we know what percentage of the roughly 390 lights that are high pressure sodium that are residential versus commercial? And then secondly, you have in the budget,
page, sir,
74, You have a cost of the new head. Do those older residential areas require new and different wiring for those new heads, number one? Or that's number my second question. And then how many lights is $14,000 going to buy you, and what's the cost savings on that?
To answer your first question, no, we don't have a split of how many are residential, how many commercial. The $1,200 one here is, those are the period lights or the more decorative lights downtown. To upgrade or to change those out, they're fairly expensive. So no, we don't have the split between residential and commercial. We can go through and do that. Your second question was, well, maybe the third was wiring. I don't believe we need to rewire anything. Now, we do have areas in town where we've had to fix over the years because it's an old direct bury cable that doesn't hold up very well, but we're stuck with that one way or the other. We don't have to rewire the heads, as far as I know.
Okay. Well, those are my first two questions. My last question, you have $14,000 in the budget.
And so what you're saying is the period lights are $1,200, and so if it's a large overhead light in a commercial area, it's still $400.
The larger commercial ones were in the 600 range or so. The residentials were 350, 400 or so.
Okay. Yeah. So when this says the commercial LED streetlight fixtures average $1,200, what that $1,200 really is the downtown decorative lighting is $1,200. All other commercial lights are $600.
Yes. Okay. In general, yes.
Okay. Yeah. And so you're not replacing the period or the decorative lights. You're probably going to do the larger overhead ones.
Well, we can start anywhere in changing these things out. We thought with the $14,000 or so, we're going to have to keep some of that $14,000 for
maintenance,
keeping up inventory of the other lights and maintenance. But we figured with $10,000, we could, in terms of residential, what does that work out to, like 24 lights or something? And so we could pick a circuit with close to that number of lights and just replace a whole circuit. And that way we're kind of being consistent rather than, you know, put them up every time a high-pressure sodium blows out, so we'd have kind of them all mixed up. But a replacement plan would take a subdivision, for example.
Talk about what the state wants to give us money.
Tom, the last question I have for you is, what's the cost savings for a light?
Electrical energy?
Yeah.
Estimates range, we're roughly looking at about 45% less in energy use. Generally, they're, 50%, 40 to 50%. They really are much more economical. And the real key, too, is that the maintenance requirements are, maintenance is, in our experience so far, is virtually unnecessary. The first LED lights in the city went up on Felton, I believe, and according to Greg, we have not had to do anything to those. Often after a heavy windstorm, for example, the high-pressure sodium lights, filament breaks or something, and so we've got to get up and repair it, but these are pretty much maintenance-free. We are looking at a loan program through the Alaska Power Authority. I've got a call into those folks and am waiting for a response. They have a grant program, and I don't know the details of it. I did look it up in the statute. It looks to me like this kind of energy efficiency projects can qualify for funding under this loan program, but I'm waiting for more details on that. The payback, if I might add, I don't know if that was in my memo or not, but I think in the for the residential lights, the payback on these things is 3 to 5 years. It's really pretty quick.
That's good. Thanks, Tom. You think 14,000 is enough then?
Oh, no, that just gets us started.
Okay, well, let's get going.
Madam Clerk, I did look up the borough ordinance regarding the motor vehicles. It is 8 years, and Councilmember Hansen is correct on the process.
Was there the reimbursement the attorney mentioned?
That is not addressed in the ordinance. It's just setting up that the borough is going to do it and the year, that
okay,
sort of thing.
Thank you.
But the reimbursement is not set up. It could be in different legislation. I'd have to find it, though. And they don't put their information memorandums on the web, so I don't know.
I'm looking at personnel costs and trying to do some figuring here, so please let the clerk know if you have questions while we're doing a little bit of work here at the table.
I have a question or two, if
Mr.
I could
Garrington.
Ask. I was just kind of reviewing I think it's the initial budget presentation, and it talked about the baseline cost drivers for 2015. It doesn't have a page number, but it mentions medical insurance, a 17% increase, when we've just found out that's down to like 5. Natural gas, it said a 2% increase, but if I heard right, isn't that higher than... I wrote it down somewhere. That's 6.5.
That's what we just reported tonight as a change for that. There was a question about with the tariff at NSTAR, what difference did it make? And that was the very first question that Gina answered.
Right, that was 7.6. Okay. And then is electric increase at 17%, more or less what we're...
There's no change to the other utilities. Okay.
And then what about legal fees? It mentioned $115,000 to date. I was wondering if we have an updated number to date.
We can give that.
I got it. We're just waiting for the computer to finish. Councilmember Carrington, excluding the bill that we just received, I don't think it's been paid. I think we just got it a couple of days ago. It is $148,226.99, and that is through all the funds.
Thank you.
Well, should we come out of the committee of the whole and make some amendments? Anyone have? Let's do it. Let's go ahead and come out of the committee of the whole, and I would like to start by making a primary amendment number two, to reduce line item number 01000031110 by $9,123. And that's the health care. Oh, yeah.
Property tax exemption.
Okay. I'm just going by what this is. Just one that we were worked on earlier in the budget. This is just a correction.
I'll second that.
All right. Discussion. We've already discussed that. All those in.
Bear a minute. I don't know. Do we make the changes to the revenue, or does that come from the administration? Because this is a change to the revenue, right? We do.
Okay. At this point, it belongs to the council, so the council makes all amendments.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. All right. Very good. And then I have my next primary amendment number three to increase line item number 08010107161 by $40,000 for the purchase of turnout gear for the fire department. Seconded by Councilmember DeVries.
Your Honor, I'd like to make an, if my figures are right, I'd like to make an amendment to that to make it for $48,000, because that's, when you take 2,400 times 20, that comes out to 48,000 rather than 40,000.
Second.
Is my math correct there, Esther?
I think it is.
You have it, Linda. Okay, good. Thank you.
All right. Secondary amendment to primary amendment number 3, moved by Councilmember DeVries, seconded by Councilmember Irby to increase the aligned number to amount by $8,000 to $48,000. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, say no. All right. Now to vote on primary amendment number 3 as amended, to add. To increase the line item 01-0801-107161 by $48,000 for the purchase of turnout gear for the fire department. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, say no. All right, we have made those amendments.
Madam Mayor.
Councilmember Coles.
Thank you. I like to make a change to primary amendment number 1.
Okay, so that would be
point
of order. Madam Clerk.
I'm sorry. This amendment was postponed to the 9th, December 9th. I did do some research in Robert's Rules. It is postponed to December 9th.
I wanted to make sure it was clear, but thank you.
All right, very good. Any other amendments? Any other amendments, corrections? Councilmember Hanson.
I wish to make an additional amendment to the LED or the street lighting line items, specifically repair and maintenance 01-1760-645. I'd like to add $20,000 to that to get started on the LED replacement of the HPSs.
Second.
I'm sorry, did you say 20,000?
Moved by Councilmember Hanson, seconded by Councilmember
Carrington.
Discussion. All those in favor of approval of primary amendment number 1, or excuse me, primary amendment number 4, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, say no. All right, very good. Primary amendment number 4.
Mayor.
Passed. Mr. Manager.
Can I ask you a question? Did you, want to make sure it didn't get lost. Do you have the request from the airport advisory chair, from John Lee, about he was passing on to council a request for a capital request? Before we finish tonight or something, I know I've seen a request from his. I want to make sure it didn't just come to me and just die there or something to go to council, but I thought it was CC to each one of you. Oh, I think it's for, well, if you remember, you'll know if you saw it. It's for $20,000 for the north ramp electrical around the general aviation folks, not the south ramp, the north ramp. Okay. I thought it was CC to all the council, but I'll. No, it was just one that came from, so I'll, on a break, I'll bring that back because I thought it went to everyone.
We have time to email and the mic to bring that forward. Any other amendments before we adjourn? Any other requests for information before we adjourn to the 7 o'clock meetings?
Runner? You didn't wrap us up. If maybe we could have that spreadsheet that Gina had showing now the increases so we can see how far, because I think we're out of balance or pretty close to it. So if we could have that at our next meeting so we know exactly. Thank you.
Request to have a spreadsheet showing our current budget with amendments. and where we stand for next meeting. Anything else? All right, with no further business before the council, we're out of the committee of the whole. We're finished up for the evening. The meeting is adjourned.